Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Welcome to Scanning the Frequencies.
Merry day after Christmas, everybody. Hi, cuz. How you doing?
Hello.
Yes, this is the last show of this year.
It's the end of the year.
Yes, it is. And we got to celebrate some, right?
I already have been. I've had four Genesis. I don't have to go to work till tomorrow, so I'm living it up.
Oh, damn. All right.
How have you been? How was your Christmas?
It was good. I spent the Christmas Eve with Jade at her house running the Frank's Box and watching cartoons. And I seen her yesterday. Again, I went to Jade's house with Carly and Jade and ran the Frank's Box. And then today I seen Mikey and all them. They all went out today, stopped by to see me. And that was good. It was good. How was yours?
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. We spent a lot of time with our daughter and our grandchildren and my wife and I. Shout out to Danielle, my beautiful wife of 30 years.
Hi, Danielle. We love you.
Yeah. She said she loves you, Danielle. Danielle waving at everybody.
Hey.
We had a fantastic time. We sure did. And lots of memories, for sure.
Oh, see, that's good. That is so good. You know, the building here ran out of heat. We had a fire alarm on Christmas morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because
that's
the heat, a pipe exploded and the steam made the fire alarm go off. So everybody in the building was outside in their pajamas wishing each other a Merry Christmas.
Oh, wow, man. That sucks. We had we had little rolling power outages, but they wouldn't last more than 10 or 15 minutes. And it finally leveled off, and they got it straightened out. And over north of us in Johnson City, Tennessee, in Jonesboro, Tennessee, they had multiple water lines that broke and things like that. So we dodged the bullet over here on the mountain. So
That's lucky, too, being there. Yeah, you're lucky because, you know what I mean, that doesn't usually happen. Here, it's just that I don't think the buildings all went out of heat. We had no heat for
it's so very old, the architecture and the I'm looking, huh?
Actually, this building's not. These buildings were built, I don't know, in the 70s maybe, in the 80s or something like that. So they're not that old. But, I guess they weren't, you know, they're not made for, for hell freezing over. And you know what I mean? That's because we're not used to that. So
well,
I guess
the infrastructure is what I was looking for, maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
Underlying infrastructure with newer things built on from infrastructure that's 40 or 50 or even 60 years ago.
Exactly.
So who knows? But shout out to all those people that had to deal with any of this terrible minus this 5-degree minus whatever y'all dealt with.
Oh,
terrible.
My God.
A lot of people got it really bad, especially in the Midwest. It got.
Oh, my God,
I know.
I know that. And the people in Buffalo, New York, shout out. I just want to say my prayers with all the people in Buffalo. I just saw the 28 people died.
I have a friend that lives out there, and I haven't heard from them yet, but I hope they're okay. It was pretty bad.
They're buried.
Shout out.
They're buried. Yes, and hopefully everything, I feel bad for all the families,
About 3 weeks ago, and by the way, I would like to throw in the Parasanctum podcast.
Oh, yes, please.
A shout out to the Parasanctum podcast. Actually, I'm going to use this for the Parasanctum podcast.
We got a phone call. Hold on.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Hello?
Oh, Fabian.
How are you, Fabian? What's up, Mark Freeman? Yeah, that's Mark Freeman. Speaking of New York, he's from Syracuse.
No.
Oh. You sound like, okay, now I want to apologize to Mark. Okay, Mark, if you're listening, and he probably is, and now I'm in trouble. But what's the old Fabian? Because that's only one person I know that does that.
Because he knows you just said you had some Guinnesses. That's why.
Is this David?
Yes, David.
Yes,
of course. Well, David, there you go. Have you had some Guinness too?
No, I have not.
But I might crack open my last jar of mead on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yummy! I love mead.
What is that? Good stuff.
Mead. It's honey wine.
It's a Viking honey wine.
Oh, and you know what? You just set the tone for what I was just fixing
okay,
to
yes.
talk about.
Going,
very good, David. You're going to be on the Parasanctum podcast because I do these every now and again. I like to do a live Parasanctum podcast. So I was going to actually say your name and you called. How cool. You remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago... when we were talking about, or 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about the origins of Yule?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually determined what they were, and it's funny that David should bring up the Vikings, because it turns out Yuletide is from the Vikings, and it was a celebration of bringing the largest wood log into your hearth, and burning it and celebrating for 12 days by putting things like holly
exactly.
on top of them.
Oh,
the
Vikings loved their big wood.
Oh, yeah, they sure did. They loved the Great North Woods and the Viagra. But they actually... but, no, yeah.
Shut up. Now you got me singing... Put another log on the fire. Did you ever watch
that? In all seriousness, the log was used as a... When they burnt the log, they would take the ashes and throw it out in the garden so that in the spring that the ashes worked as a great source of nitrogen for the
exactly.
soil, and then they would grow. So anyway, with that being said, I found this really delicious website called Listverse that has 10 dark legends of Yuletide. And since you're on now, David.
What about the Norwegian cat?
Yes, it's on here. And actually, I'll get to that in a minute. That's on here. Okay, well, anyway, I got a question. Yeah. I'm going to ask us about these. I'll just start off with this. It says, for most, the Christmas season is a time of joy, presents, and family. However, in Europe, there are certain Yuletide traditions that hint at a darker past, even more than Halloween. The time around Christmas has traditionally been associated with folklore creatures of terrifying darkness. According to this, Yuletide wolves, werewolves, in Central and Southern Europe, it was children born on Christmas Day were believed to be to become werewolves in old Yule time.
Oh, damn.
And
really?
Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's what they said. It said the werewolf of Paris, Arthur Guy Endor, revitalized this tradition by having his werewolf, Bertrand Calais, be born on Christmas Day. So it's interesting. It was argued that folk Catholic belief in Yuletide werewolves is a remnant of the Roman festival of Lupercalia, a winter celebration intended to honor the she-wolf who raised Romulus and Remus. The fear of werewolves was once so strong that even uttering the word wolf was believed to bring bad luck upon the entire village. Okay, who wants to go first and tell me what you think about that, Yuletide? That's number 10 of 10. It's a descending list.
Well,
yeah,
I love
one,
wolves.
No,
okay.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I love wolves. Wolves are the best, and I want to go to a sanctuary and go play with them. How's that?
Well, how about, okay, what about werewolves?
No, they don't count. They're human, sort of.
Okay.
Right?
But are they?
Right.
But are they,
yeah.
Honestly?
I don't know. I don't
yeah,
know.
Really. What are they? That's true.
But my
new
date was originally Christmas Day.
Oh, well. I don't
see. He narrowly avoided being a werewolf.
Yeah, that's it. You know,
Mikey,
it,
if you're listening.
Yeah, that's a strange legend, strange piece of lore, to be honest, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people cannot absolutely physically transform into a wolf because it is biologically impossible.
Right.
But the mentality, the behavior, the,
right,
the
that
feral
could be different
ferociousness
story.
Of it can be completely
yeah. yep.
different. Didn't Ed and Lorraine Warren have to deal with a werewolf over in England? A man who
lycanthrope. Yeah, it's
yeah.
of lycanthrope.
Oh, that I know.
Yeah.
Q-R-S-N-T.
Lycanthrope.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
And that's what they call it over there.
Like,
why I know that, I don't know.
Like cancer. Yeah.
Like cancer.
<That's it. laughs>
Have another.
That's it. The lycanthropy. You got it.
Like cancer.
Hey, let me throw in a side note to that, guys. Here's an interesting point. That in old times, actually at Christmas, like especially in the Victorian era, ghost stories were Christmas traditions. They often they told the ghost stories at Christmas. It was before Halloween became very popular. It was at Christmas time that the ghost stories were told by the families around the fire.
Oh, definitely.
And Charles Dickens is the example of that. The Charles Dickens little stories that he passed around London were all ghost stories, and that's how it culminated in 1843's Christmas
Carol. Dickens wrote the whole Ebenezer Scrooge thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Carol. So obviously, when you're writing a story that has three ghosts that are going to come and torment you in the middle of the night, it's not a happy tradition.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
oh, no.
Mom used to tell ghost stories on Christmas night. No lie. No, we and Scrooge and stuff, all that kind of crazy stuff. Shit, but then again, she read me Sleepy Hollow for my bedtime story.
Oh, that's cool.
What
a cool mom.
I mean,
okay, here's number nine. The Christmas Witches. Here's another one, guys. This is pretty interesting. It says, for today's practicing Wiccans, Yule and the winter solstice are some of the most sacred holidays. And we were talking about the different pagan, you know, the pagan wheel and all that, and how Yule was in that as one of the seasons of the pagan wheel, or one of the times of the year. According to the neo-pagan version of history, Christmas is but a highly sanitized version of Yule itself, a pagan celebration mostly held by the Germanic and Celtic peoples. Uh-oh, look at you, Lisa. You were right 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
You
said
that the Vikings and the Celts intermixed with the... very good. And the Roman festival of Saturnalia.
Saturnalia.
Yeah.
I taken...
Oh, okay. That's chicken.
Saturnalia.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
What?
Wait,
chicken?
Hold on.
Oh, no. No way.
Oh my god, Lisa sticked her fucking Norris down chicken on me. It is trying to peck my eyes out.
Damn Norris down chicken.
How in the hell am I supposed to announce the Blog Talk countdown?
Hey,
if I cannot see the damn countdown clock. Lisa. Get your damn chicken off of me right now.
All right. It was Saturnalia. Yeah.
Saturnalia.
Wait.
Yeah. Taken together. Many Wiccans. No, go ahead.
Saturnalia. It's Saturnalia, right?
Right, Saturn,
Saturnalia. Yes, Saturnalia.
Right, that's it. It's a Roman festival. And it says that, taken together, many Wiccans and others believe that Christmas time is especially good for casting spells. And while it is undoubtedly true that many elements of modern Christmas are lifted directly from the pagan traditions of ancient Europe, much of the idea of Yule witchcraft actually comes from folk Catholic beliefs, primarily the idea that the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany are a time when the spirit world impinges upon its own. What do y'all think of that, about the witch's powers being more stronger around the time of traditional Christmas and being Yule?
I don't believe in witches, but I can tell you that the solstice would make a difference because of that change in the seasons and that beautiful day. But maybe that's the day that you could do some whatever you're doing. You know what I mean?
If you stop and think about it,
to the universe.
Right. Some of the modern traditions associated with Christmas, like kissing under the mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
I think could have been derived from a Wiccan spell for love under the same type of thing.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, and you're going to use it when their powers were decidedly the strongest for them to do. So, you want somebody to fall in love.
Right.
You wait until,
right.
Right.
Well, you know that the ancients believed the Neolithic peoples designed places like Stonehenge and the Hill of Tara at certain times of the year, like when the solstice arrives, the light of the sun and or the moon shines through portals in the walls and illuminates the structures.
It surprises me that they were smarter. Well, nobody really, but they were smarter than we were to know all this about the way the sun hits there and when it comes in. So if we really think about it, they were kind of smart.
Very smart. I mean, they used whatever they used to build Stonehenge.
Oh, my God.
Well,
uh-huh.
I mean,
no one knows.
The things that it would take to build Stonehenge today were still, it would still max their ability to build it. I mean, it would be like extremely difficult for modern technology to build Stonehenge.
They'd
much
be all
less
like,
all those people.
Wait.
Back in
it,
doing
right,
whatever they were doing, to build it. A lot of people, I know growing up, it was always a supposition that maybe the aliens did it or something and the pyramids, but I just think the ingenuity of man, they all got together and they figured it out, and man, boy, did they figure it out.
Or
forever my favorite.
Maybe
symbol of ancient mythology.
Maybe
and history,
they were in tune with the earth.
Fact.
They might
maybe
have been
so
in tune with the earth and the stars and the alignments of the planets and everything else, because they live simpler than us. So we got to dig and like put everything through a computer system to calculate the whatever they're calculating and putting the, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Well,
Vikings used to use just a simple crystal when they were navigating the ocean. So
I know.
The ancient knowledge of astrology and the season changes and any of the equinox cycles, they were very in tune with. So,
absolutely.
I mean, as far as the whole tradition of the witches at Christmas, I can kind of believe it.
I've actually seen a video. I was just scrolling earlier looking for content for my for the Parasanctum podcast, and I was trying to figure out what I was saying. Christmas time witches. Well, now I just figured it out because by the way, I've not read these. I'm reading these fresh off the print.
Okay.
But I am going to cut through a couple of them because some of these are really long and I don't want to eat up the whole show with it.
Exactly.
But I am doing this for the Parasanctum podcast.
Yeah.
So, here's one that I just caught. I talked to Lisa about before the show. And it's called the Claw Boss. And did y'all ever watch Grimm? You remember that series, Grimm?
Yeah.
Hank and Grimm, and they went after the, oh, man, it was, I recommend Grimm. Grimm is an amazing show. It still is. If you've never watched it. It was out about 5-7 years ago.
That's why, yeah.
Oh, no, wait, 10 years ago. It was about 10 years ago when it came out. Yeah, that's right.
Was it just Grimm, or was it like the Brothers Grimm, or?
Well, it's a descendant. See, the storyline is that the Grimms were actually, they were hunters of different types of creatures that pretended to be human spiritual energies, and they go after all the creatures from the Brothers Grimm, and they
kind of like Van Helsing.
The creatures, yeah, yes, absolutely, very similar. So if you like Van Helsing, you'll love this. But there, it's actually interesting how the claw evolved. It just reminds you, if you were, and all the people out there that have watched Grimm, all the creatures were given these German names from the book. It seems like I remember the Klauwolf being on Grimm, but here's the story of the Klauwolf. It's a demonic helper of Saint Nicholas. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Yeah, it's what it's going to say. It's saying, however, thanks to the internet, comic books, and certain horror films, much of the world has seen the renewed version of the Klauwolf, which is the Krampus.
Right.
And is also the demonic helper of St. Nicholas. Krampus is native to the German-speaking regions of the Alps. However, it is incorrect to think that there is just one interpretation of Krampus. The Klauwolf, in both East Tyrol and the German-speaking Italian region of South Tyrol, they are called the Klauwolf monsters, or ugly and hairy creatures that are summoned by the vocalizations of children on the eve of St. Nicholas Day. Once awakened, the Klauwolf follow St. Nicholas as he goes house to house to find the good and bad boys and gifts. In some places, such as in Thurn, Austria, locals and Klauwolf performers engage in violent wrestling match. We could have just said Krampus.
Yeah,
basically
much.
That's what this is. So what you're... Well, go ahead and re-elaborate for everyone what we discussed about this Krampus thing, Lisa.
Oh, well, which part?
No, the part about the Krampus. You were telling me about the Krampus before
started. Well, I don't know too much about it, but I know that I believe that is what my mom was taught.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Because she told me about, and she talked about the helper, too. So this might be the same story. And that they'd have to be, you know, they were afraid. They were afraid if that was going to come. Until, of course, until Santa Claus became popular, as is, like St. Nick, through Coca-Cola. When Coca-Cola just brought Santa out into Coca-Cola and gave everybody cocaine in their Coke, then it became extremely popular.
Hey, that won the war, man.
No shit.
Hey, listen, but you just nailed it, Lisa. I just found it where I just now read this. I remember
what
it
say?
A keyword. German-speaking Italian region.
Yep.
And you are Germanic and Italian.
Yep.
So maybe that your mom, was your mom German or Italian?
I'm a Van Brunt. So we're Dutch, Irish, Scottish, a little bit of Swedish, you know, that kind of and I forget what the fuck. Wait, Dutch.
Well, you know, you mix the Swedish and the Italian, you know, you can make a good meatball.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
I
make
the best fucking meatballs, okay? I make the best fucking meatballs. Okay, that's it. I'm telling you.
What do you think, David, about the Klauwolf, aka Krampus?
I'm not sure. See, yeah, I'm kind of torn on that one. I know that any parent's going to use any kind of method they can to force their children to behave. So, okay, you've got Santa Claus. He's going to come bring you all the stuff as long as you're good. But you got to have something in there to portray that negative. So, oh, yeah, and Santa Claus has got that demon that helps him. And if you're bad, oh, boy, you don't want to know what happens there. So,
yeah, so this thing ran around at Yule time, and of course, a lot of people, like we were, this is all about Yule, this whole thing.
Right.
The yeah. whole, all of this is in reference to Yule, the terrifying Yule things. And, you know, you can imagine these kids, and they're watching this parade, and they're like, you know, this is the old times, because we all know the fairy
yep.
tales were actually horror stories.
Oh, my
God. That uh-huh. were rewritten. When they were horror stories, and they were watered
yep.
down for a more modern generation, but back in ancient times, going into the woods was a death sentence for any kid. Well, you got these kids, they're like, well, we're going to be good, so on St. Nicholas Day, we're going to get all this cool shit, you know, and we're going to behave. It really worked probably back then, because everyone was so superstitious, and they
yep.
really didn't, you know, they thought these things with long tongues and whips, they were going to come eat the kids, you know. So, yeah, that's pretty trippy shit.
Yeah, but my mom told me, like, she was literally paranoid when Santa would come. But then again, she was worried about the Jersey Devil on her roof. Okay,
oh,
so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's South Jersey and all that, you know, the whole, you know,
cool.
the whole Jersey Devil. But she said Santa Claus was actually scary and that she was so happy that I could experience the Santa Claus that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole legends used to scare her.
Oh, I got one for David. Hey, David, you ready for this?
You're
gonna
do
like
the Icelandic cat?
Yeah, no, this is getting no. This is probably
oh,
no. Here. You know what it is, don't you, Lisa?
No,
here
I'm
it comes. Kidding. This
okay.
is number 6 of this list. I'm not going to say all of them, but I'm going to tell you about something called Ungroomed Peter.
All right, I have not heard this one.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
Danielle's
God.
Looking at us like we're stupid. She's over here with her eyes up, just looking.
Rolling
like, okay.
her eyes. Like, you guys are nuts. They're nuts, Danielle, they're nuts.
No, they're not just nuts. They're ungroomed Peter.
Yeah, ungroomed.
Yes, no, here, really.
Well, I mean,
this is actually on here. You got to hear this.
Yeah,
and I'll let David
Peter
go.
And
I got to hear David
nuts.
On this. Since he's so interested in the ED epidemic, that
the who,
I figured I'd let him chime in on this. The ED.
Wait, who said I was interested?
Well, you started the show out like that, I wouldn't.
Krampus.
Oh, here you go. Ungroomed Peter is but one name for a whole host of dark Christmas legends, I imagine. As the central antagonist in Heinrich Hoffmann's story of the same name, Ungroomed Peter is a giant monster with long, shaggy hair and even longer fingernails. He eats or otherwise tortures. But he's a hero. Listen to this. He's a hero.
Wait.
Like you're reading a storybook. Read him.
No, listen. He's a hero. Listen. No, I'm telling you. I'm just reading this.
Damn,
you got to hang on. I got to tell you what he is. Okay. Other than having the long, shaggy hair and even longer fingernails, he eats or otherwise tortures the children who terrorize animals,
woo-hoo!
Refuse to eat dinner, suck their thumbs,
oh, well,
or do
bad.
Mischievous things. Various other boogeymen of German and Austrian legends include the Black Man, Krampus, and Ruprecht. Taken together, these figures are designed to instill in children good habits through terror. They also
exactly.
connect older Germanic practices of the Yuletide with some of the Italian traditions of Carnival.
Right.
David, what do you think about the ungroomed Peter?
Well,
I'm gonna have to mute it.
Okay, Beavis. Now you have butthead. Go ahead. What
hey,
do you think about the ugly?
Hey Beavis.
He said Peter. He's a Peter.
yeah, he did. Yeah. Peter. Peter. Okay, whatever.
Fire.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one I have not heard about. Of
no,
course,
this is fresh off the press here, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know if I could be terrified of ungroomed Peter.
Oh, you know how you defend yourself? It's a bar of Dial soap, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Zestfully, no, zestfully clean.
How do you defend against the ungroomed Peter phenomenon? You go see the midwife.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that can work.
Oh my.
Okay, yeah, this one just absolutely threw me for a loop. I don't know. I'm tongue tied.
Okay. Well, basically, it's like the Krampus, but his beef, Lisa, his beef is that he goes after the kids that terrorize animals and refuse to eat dinner.
Oh, he's so scared of shit out of them. There you go.
Yeah, Lisa, what do you think about the ungroomed Peter?
I think he's a Krampus. No, I mean, but like, okay, seriously, I don't think kids should be terrorized for sucking their thumb or anything else on that list.
Yeah.
But the part
no.
about the animals, okay,
yeah.
maybe a little bit there. Okay, you know
oh,
what I mean? Like
yeah.
a little bit of fear needs to be instilled in them because they could kiss my ass. That would be bad. My kids would never have done nothing like that.
Here you go. Here's
exactly.
probably the worst joke you're ever going to hear. Can you imagine a German father telling the kids, don't choke that chicken or the ungroomed Peter will get you?
Yeah. Well, you can reverse that, and it sounds more interesting. It would be Norristown if you reversed that.
Oh, God.
I got to say it because he brought it up. There it is.
Oh,
don't
my God.
Groom that Peter or the choking chicken will come get you. Yes.
Oh
what is the
God.
Rating? What is our rating? A rated PG.
We're fine.
PG 17 or C something like I don't remember.
Oh.
Okay, here it is. This is for
is
David.
Is it NC 17?
The Yule Cat.
The Yule Cat.
Oh, there it is.
The Yule
this
Cat.
Is, yeah, this is
Yule
the one
cat.
That I would be just literally mad
yes.
at every year.
Yeah.
Okay, what did this one do?
Well, I'm going to tell you what it does. This is an Icelandic Yule.
Uh-huh.
It's an Icelandic Yule tradition or belief, whatever. It says in Iceland, Christmas time is when the Yule Cat punishes those who do not own a new piece of clothing. The Yule Cat apparently is a fashion police. The
He's
Yule
a fashionista.
Cat or... Yeah, the Jolakoturin.
Yeah.
Jolakoturin is described as a gigantic beast that reminds the Icelandic people to work hard throughout the coming year, namely those who have not worked hard enough to afford new clothes.
Right.
Okay. We'll be visited by the Yule Cat, who primarily likes to eat up all of the lazy parties. Food. Although the origins of the Yule Cat are in question, the point of the stories is not. Although only a few stories show the cat actually eating humans, this massive creature is sort of a boogeyman promoting industriousness among a people well known for their work ethic. Okay,
right.
So he is the fashion police and goes after
right.
people
was...
sitting on their ass.
Yeah, and I think
yeah,
it was
ahead,
designed
David.
To teach the children just to be grateful for what they have been given instead of, you know, the
right.
greed you see today in today's kids. But I wanted the iPhone 14 Max Pro, whatever the hell it is, and you got me a freaking Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
No. So,
yeah.
you know, the whole
right.
thing behind the Yule Cat is even if you were given clothes, you had to wear those clothes no matter what, be grateful for them. Or this cat will come
right.
and chew you up. So,
yeah.
you know.
That's pretty good. I dig that. I'm not mad at that. That's pretty cool. How about you, Lisa? What do you think about the big bad Yule Cat and the clothing?
Well, if it's a factor of the greed and to appreciate what you have and to live simple, that's a different,
yeah.
that's a totally different story, like a totally different circumstance where I would tell my kids learned that because we didn't have shit. But we learned,
yeah,
you know, we appreciated what we had. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and you know, we couldn't get cable, so you know, we couldn't afford cable, or we couldn't have our phones, so we chose to not have cable TV or anything, and choose to get our phones. and use that for everything. So things like that, you learn to appreciate, you know what I mean? And I guess, yeah, I guess it's all right. We'd feed him. I'd feed him. Would you feed the cat?
Well, I mean, right?
Would
yeah,
I feed the cat?
Probably feed itself. He's going to come eat y'all, you know.
Look, if he's coming in, like, coming out. No, but I wonder if people left food out for the cat. That's a good question.
I think they ran from
the
cat.
I'm not sure.
I mean,
this cat's supposed to be about
as big as a house.
Right. And if you're going to feed, I guess you have to give it like a cement mixer of something to eat. I guess, I don't know, but yeah, they're pretty big. They're running around, you know, I guess, you know, like, hey, you got some ugly-ass clothes on, crunch, you know. So,
like, we like Godzilla.
Or Matt, what's up with that button's last year's fashion, crunch, you know.
Should I be born dead? I'm still,
you know,
I'm still wearing clothes that I had in 1994, okay?
Hey, me too.
I'd be
well, I mean, I've got them in the closet.
Yep. No,
and number one.
I got a flannel from 1991 I still wear.
That's
flannel
cool,
from 1991.
Man. And they never went out of style. They're back.
No.
Everything from the 90s is in style.
I kept wearing them. I kept wearing them, and they kept coming in and out of style anyway, so I'd be in style every once in a while.
That's right. Yeah, you know, you're in style like a clock. You're right twice a day right now.
Right.
In that case, you're right twice a decade. La Befana's
number
one. I'm just going to jump to number one. La Befana has been called the Christmas witch all throughout Italy. And that's right. It's Italian.
I was
going to
say, it sounds Italian.
It is Italian. It's Italian. Hey, what's the matter with you? We got La Befana. She's going to come do you, Guido. La Befana is described as a witch who flies through the winter skies on a broom on January 6th or Epiphany. La Befana gives presents to well-mannered boys and girls. We're changing it over to the good side for a change. For bad children, La Befana is said to climb down chimneys and dump coal or leave switches in their stockings. It is not uncommon for Italian parents to warn their children that La Befana will snatch them up if they don't behave. In many ways, La Befana plays a similar role as both St. Nicholas and Krampus in the German-speaking Alps. Furthermore, La Befana may have the same origins as other pre-Christian witches. Similarly, both figures have been given Christian backstories to counteract folk traditions outside the teachings of the church. In the case of La Befana, she is said to have been approached by the three magi on the night of Jesus' birth. After giving the wise men shelter and food, she declined to see the birth of Christ because she had too much housework to do. Okay. Sometime later, La Befana changed her mind, but she could not find either the Magi or Jesus. As such, she continues to fly around today in search of both. My question is, too much housework to do? Well, I guess that's a good reason to fly around on a broom.
Broom.
Well, that's why she has a broom.
I got it.
What do you think?
I
get
involved.
This is you, baby. Go ahead.
Yeah, I remember the story that as you were saying it. But every time the damn church gets a hold of a female, they got to change the story.
That is so true.
Okay,
so
the original
right
story
that.
Is so every time, like the Catholic Church, of course, they're a little bit behind a lot of it. They get a hold of a female. Next thing you know, that female is something else, like Mary Magdalene. All of a sudden, she's a whore.
Right.
She wasn't. Okay,
absolutely.
No, she was not. Okay, none of that's true. And this, they changed her into, like, not worse than the birth. She became a bad thing because she wasn't with the church. I'm getting
Absolutely.
There you go.
That's what it is. You're absolutely right. the church strikes again. All the pagan. You know, I love God and everything, and
Jesus
and everything. But I'm gonna tell you, pagan, everything pagan was the Catholic Church came in and made it a part of their own to convert. That's basically all the old pagan sites. A great many of the cathedrals are built on them, over them. So you control the language, you control the religion, you control the nation.
Yep, that's it. It's power and greed.
David. Go ahead, Lisa.
For me, instead of saying, a god or of anything. I'm going to stick with my background with Native Americans and say the creator, because technically
that
sums it all up.
I like that. I can
take
that. I like that.
All right. And I believe that everything on this earth, and I believe everything in space and everything else is all connected. We are connected to this earth.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Without,
I believe that, too.
We are one, okay? And so Jesus, he was cool, man. He was like a hippie. Because if I think back on it, no, really, back in the day, think about it. Just
yeah,
about
well,
the
yeah,
peace,
yeah,
the love, and everything. Right? No, yeah, that too. But the peace, the love, the you know, the trying to bring people together. Everything that he stood for was good. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you know, he wanted peace and love. That's the bottom line. So there you go. That's my Jesus.
Oh, that's great. Hey, David, what did you think of La Bufana, the Yule Witch?
Actually, what I find the most interesting is the date.
Yeah, me too. I found
January
that January 6th.
That was
yes.
kind of strange.
Yep.
Epiphany. Epiphany.
Yeah. David, you read my freaking mind.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, my
the,
God.
That January the
epiphany.
6th, that epiphany date
the,
has,
yeah,
it's proven its side all the way through, and I do
Fuck
think
yeah.
it could be directly linked to La Bufana.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe.
It really could.
Yeah,
she's
maybe
trying
she,
to find everybody. She's flying around trying to find people.
Well, maybe she stormed the Capitol. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But
no,
La
no,
Bufana,
no.
La Bufana,
no.
I will not get political,
but
La Bufana say the epiphany part of this is that that she gave good things to the people that behaved and punished
right.
them. For the things
right.
that they didn't do, you know. So,
exactly.
That aspect, yeah, the date is definitely curious. There's actually a date called Epiphany on January 6th, and
I
learned something.
Yeah,
I got a new wrinkle in my brain on that one.
Yeah,
but,
right?
Yeah, I appreciate y'all letting me bring the Parasanctum podcast on here. We've had a really good discussion about these.
Yeah, that was really
good. Yuletide, these are pretty weird. Some of them are that I didn't talk about or... They're just bizarre as shit. I'm not even going to waste my time.
There's so many legends. It's not funny.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's
so
many.
It boils down to that Yule is descended from Scandinavia and is
mm-hmm.
It's much older than people thought, and the tradition of Yule
is
actually an ancient one, and that
yep.
it was, like Lisa said, it was appropriated by
Celts
the church at some point, and they intentionally moved
mm-hmm.
Christmas up to the time of Yule
to take away.
Ingratiate their conquest of conversion, I guess. And that's
yeah.
a travesty. But, yes, that's what happened.
Yep, pretty much.
Yep.
So Jesus was
exactly.
born in, like, June or July. He wasn't born in the wintertime either.
I always
heard it
was April. I always heard
so
it was April.
Somewhere,
but I don't know, you know.
Somewhere between
but,
there and July, like that
right.
area of stuff. But he really wasn't because it didn't line up with the planets and shit. He wasn't.
But what's a magi? I forgot what a magi is.
Those are the wise men. The magi would have been like
yes.
Mystics.
Yes.
The
dudes,
mystics,
the
lore keepers. Yeah, the ones that carried the
okay.
myrrh, frankincense. Gold.
They want to swing those things like Papa Emeritus on the Ghost Show. The Ghost Show.
Oh, is it Magi or Magi? And in plural, would it be Magi too?
No. I think you'd still call them Magi. Magi.
I know. Is Magi like Bob? It's Magi and Magi? Okay.
Wait a minute, it's not magpie like the bird. No.
Do you remember Heckle and Jekyll? Oh, man,
yes.
That was so cool. I love Heckle and
Jekyll.
That
was a great show. Heckle and
Jekyll. You know, cartoons,
cool.
They suck now, man.
No,
when we
no,
were
no.
growing up, we had some great cartoons growing up, man. They were the best. Our generation, a bowl of cereal and Tom and Jerry, man.
Did you ever see the regular show?
No.
You got to watch it.
Is that new?
Playing? Nope,
is that,
nope,
is that okay? Regular? Right. The regular show?
Yes, they watch the regular
no.
show.
It's no.
Not, look, it's like going back into watching something our cartoons would have been like.
Oh,
like
and they're attempting
the subject
to
matter, the whole, no, they just, no, no, it's kind of a new style, but it got that old cartoon feel.
What
it
was
really
your
does.
Favorite? Okay, I got to go on. I got to. Hey, you could do the 347 thing and say, call in and tell us your favorite
okay.
Saturday morning cartoon. I'll tell you mine. Actually, I want to hear y'all's first. Lisa,
yeah,
what was
really,
your favorite?
Okay.
Back in the day growing up, what was your favorite Saturday morning cartoon? What was your favorite?
Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Reggie?
But, I mean, it would be Scooby-Doo, Spider-Man, okay?
Okay.
And what else? You know what? It's not a cartoon, but does it count? Land of Lost.
Yeah, I would say that because it had.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was Croft.
It had dinosaurs.
And they had the flea stacks and.
Yep, that was
cool, man. That was wicked cool.
And what else?
I love
that
show. Oh man, there was all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I used to watch He-Man a lot.
Go ahead. He-Man was my favorite. Me and you had something in common. That was Thundercat. Well, He-Man, He-Man, the one with Skeletor. They had several more.
Yeah.
But it was the original He-Man that had, the original He-Man. They had this She-Ra thing, and they had all this other bullshit.
It was just a good old
1981 He-Man. The Masters of the Universe.
Actually, though,
I used to say
I kind of look more towards
the
the cartoon villains, though. I liked Mumra, the Ever Living.
Yes, Mumra. Yes, I remember Mumra.
Mumra.
No, wait. How about this one? Go Speed Racer.
Okay. I should have done it by decade. The best.
That's later.
The best cartoon Saturday morning from the 1960s was, and Lisa, you already said yours, but give us another one, Lisa. What was the best one, Lisa, other than Scooby?
I was too little. I don't know.
Listen, we were growing up and watching them, but they were from
the
60s.
That's what I mean. Oh, okay.
I should have rephrased
different.
That. My bad. I should have phrased that correctly.
All right.
Lisa, what was your favorite one?
Look.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Let me see. I loved Bugs Bunny. I really, really like
Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes, the whole nine yards thing.
They were 50s, but yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
stuff.
But I watched them all. They were in the 50s, really? That's when they started?
They came out in the 40s, believe it or not. I believe Bugs Bunny, my memory serves me correctly, they actually started in the 40s. They were way back there. But
forever.
I guess, they had some Looney Tunes in the 60s, too. They ran it all the way through. So my apologies.
It doesn't matter
when they started. It's what was popular in the 1960s, and I'm most certain that Looney Tunes would have been kick-ass,
it would have been real popular back in the 60s.
David, what would your favorite of
Yogi
the 60s
Bear.
That you grew up watching in the 70s? What would you say?
No,
I mean 60s, the 60s. We're all around the same age, so yeah.
Right.
I don't know about that. I was born in, 92.
Shut up. Okay, sure. Yeah, he said 92. 92. Okay.
Underdog Rock.
Hong Kong Fury was 70s. That was 70s. And Underdog was 70s. So I'm screwing it up because I still got a buzz. But listen, my favorite from the 60s has to be the Hillbilly Bears.
Then they transformed them into the Hair Bear Bunch.
Yes, they did. They sure did.
And then
the Hair Bear Bunch, And then Yogi Bear too. That was
Yogi Bear was the shit.
Hair Boo Boo. I got a picnic basket.
Boo Boo.
Hair Boo Boo. Oh, this was too much fun. And the phone's going to cut me off in a second because it always does, but I'll call right back.
Wait. David, you heard that Ghostbox clip. What did it? What did that do? You heard my Ghostbox clip.
When they were making fun of William?
Yes. I was explaining.
Yeah.
They're
going to
give out a William
Bass. And the Royal Flatulence.
And then they're like, William,
fart.
The this was at Jade's house, and we weren't paying attention to the box. And when the list came loose, there was like the comedy club in action. And then I did this at Jade. Jade has a gnome, and the top part comes off in a gnome. You can put candy in the middle, you know, like that kind. And she holds it up, and I'm like, what is that? They're like, you know, I swear to God. And then she took the top off, and they're like, it's broken. It's because she took the top off. It's broken. And I'm like, okay, what is it? An elf. They did it again with the gnome at Jade's house. Oh,
yeah.
My
they
God.
Just don't
but
like,
the fart?
They just don't like gnomes.
No, it's on purpose, see? They're doing it on purpose. When I held the elf up, they told me it was a freaking elf. So I'm like, what is this, an elf? Pick up the gnome. What is this, an elf? I'm like, no, this ain't right. No, but, I mean, the fart one was hysterical because I didn't hear it until I got home. We weren't paying attention. We were talking. So that was going on in the background in the box, and I did not hear it until I got home.
Yeah.
So, yes, they can make funny things happen.
I really love these stories about the funny side of the other side because it gives me hope that...
Yep.
Oh, definitely. That's what we were just talking about earlier.
It's going to be fun. They're going to be
yeah,
fun.
Knowing that,
a lot of happy
yeah, just knowing that
kind of
once
things.
Your physical form is gone and nobody
yeah.
can see you when you still exist in spirit form, you can have as much fun as you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we were saying
oh, yeah.
we wanted to... Like, you know, I'd be running around with Walter blasting out every EVPs, you know. Whoa, hey, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Think about it, though. If you could, would you? I mean, you know.
Oh, God.
Hey,
yeah. I'd have to pull a line from the Goonies out all over people doing investigations.
Oh,
hey, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Right?
That's great stuff, man. You know, people gave a shit when they made stuff, movies and shows and all that back then. I think Hollywood needs to get their shit together. It's getting...
Damn right.
It's getting ridiculously
redundant.
Regurgitating our generation
right.
is not
no,
going to
no.
save you. You need to come up with some... You need
wait,
to come
wait.
Up with your own...
Our generation is going to create a lot more than you think at this point. Get it? Oh, yeah. Yep. Did you know some cartoons are coming back? Did you notice different things are coming back? You ever listen? I was dying. The other day I was listening, and they were playing, Flash was on a commercial. I was like, oh, my God, the guitarist from, whatchamacallit? Oh, we got a phone call. That's Fabian.
I'm back.
Hello, Fabian.
Hello. Hey, how you been? Hey, man, we've been getting going
on. Oh, doing a Cheech and Chong. There you go. Yes. Now,
hey,
I'm
yeah.
going to time this
hey,
so we can
Pedro.
Actually play Mikey's song. So we're going to – we have about three
that.
More minutes before I want to play Fairy
yeah.
Tale because it's like
okay.
the best song.
Mm-hmm. Can I
you
get a shout
I mean?
Out before
I
we do that? Can I say something
sure.
real quick before we do that? I just wanted to
yes.
give a shout out to Mark Salter. He's added us to his server. We're going to be doing a rebroadcast of scanning the frequencies on the Salty Talk Radio Network. We've been added by them. And congratulations to our show. I've heard that we're doing pretty good, and I'm really happy.
Yep.
And Live Paranormal, I super appreciate them and all of their support. And supporting you and I, Cousin Lisa, I think we're going to have
yep.
a great year
Thank
next
you.
Year and years to come for that. So I wanted to give a shout-out to
right.
SaltyTalkRadio.com. And I'm also going to be doing the
mm-hmm.
rebroadcasts of Scanning the Frequencies every Friday starting at 12 noon on the Parasanctum, which you can find on Google
That's awesome.
Play.
Yay.
Or you can also type in keywords Parasanctum, and you will find, or you can go to FabianTrahan.com/radio in lowercase letters, and you will find the Parasanctum.
The Parasanctum.
Fantastic. All right,
and that's
I'm
my
give a
plug.
Shout out. Okay, my shout out, though, no, this is a shout out I want to give to another radio station that has got me through the roughest times that I've never, they have been my rock forever, for years, and that's WMMR 93.3
right.
in Philadelphia. And I want to give a shout out to everybody, Pierre and Marcus and God, Jackie Bam Bam and all everybody, just everybody, a big shout out because I don't think some of these holidays I would have gotten through without that station. And I really
awesome. Yeah.
want to thank all of them.
And that shout-out to WMMR should come with free pretzel dogs.
Yeah. And a cloud ball. What's that? Unshaved Peter. What was that thing called?
Ungroomed.
Ungroomed Peter.
I closed the website, so I couldn't remember it. Yeah, unshaved Peter. Thing, man.
Hanging out with that big cat.
The unshaved Peter and the large Yule kitty.
Better watch. Nora said chicken will hear that. I don't know. And there it is. Long talk radio. Yep.
Oh, Lisa,
yep.
Get that
there
dumb chicken
all
off of me.
Lisa, they're fucking Norristown chicken. There you go. All right, we're going to call it a night now. Okay?
Yeah.
And I
want
to
tell
everybody,
Happy
New
Year.
Happy
New
Year. Yeah.
Year in show.
All right,
thank y'all for listening. We love y'all.
Thank
love y'all.
You, guys. And we
listen
love
to
you.
Live
love you guys.
Yep. Happy New Year to everybody.
You ready? Are you ready to roll? Okay.
Drink
everybody, Wayne Chung tonight.
Michael Terrio, song, well, now the band is Sell This Sound, and the song is Fairy Tale.
Good
night. It's starting. There we go. Okay, good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, John Boy.
Good night. Good night. Good night, John Boy. Bye-bye, guys.
Happy New Year.
Good night, Mary Beth.
Happy New Year.
And I'll miss you by tomorrow,
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people.